Ed, do you know what the best thing about this time of year is?
Please share. What would it be?
Well, I know this is good for me and you, but probably tiresome for some of our other listeners. But as of right now, the Phillies are 11 games up in the wild card race. They're 11 games above 500. And they're, I think they're up, what is it, four or five
games? Three or four games. Yeah. No, it's looking good. I mean,
it's looking very good.
I'm as scared as you are now, given how
I know. I'm very scared. We probably shouldn't have said it out loud.
We just jinxed this whole year. Oh,
that
year.
Was a mistake. Let's start over. Hi, everybody. Welcome to When Doves Podcast.
Hey, Jerry, you know what the best time of this year is?
Tell me what, Ed, why is this the best time of year?
You know, it's warm outside. People are outside doing things and are listening to some good music.
They are listening to some good music. That's true. Ed, you know what I find? The summertime is often great for new releases.
That's a great time to do a new release in the summertime.
I think so, too, especially if it's like, you know, maybe someone who's gone, maybe someone who hasn't been able to put anything out in a little while, and you get a little treat, a little bonus, a little something.
Little treat, yeah. I'm with a little treat, a little summer treat.
A little summer treat, a purple colored taffy little, you know, one of those little things, one of those you just throw them in your mouth, you chew them. It's so good. They take forever to just sort of melt away in your mouth.
And yeah, it's like an everlasting gobstopper.
Was there any purple in the everlasting gobstopper?
There had to be. Every color. That was a candy that united all colors and spheres and types.
It's
everybody
true,
was represented in that everlasting.
Yeah, that's right. Because the everlasting gobstopper, isn't it sort of like it's got little spikes on it and it's sort of not a circle?
Little
and it's not
spikes. Like, if you're someone with a hard like edge, if you're someone who's actually smoothed out, it represents everybody.
It represents everybody. What are we talking about? We're talking about this. We're doing a quick little hit and run pod today, folks. What we teased during the Sinead O'Connor little bonus pod we put out. By the way, today, as we record, today was Sinead's funeral.
No kidding.
Sinead was buried today. Yeah, and I gotcha. She was buried in the town. And she, not the town, she was from Dublin, but she was buried in the town that she had been living in the last 7 years, and people just lined the streets. Watching her funeral procession go by while they blasted Bob Marley and the Wailers music for her.
There you go.
Bob Marley fan. So I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway, nice. As listeners of the pod probably know, on July 7th, the estate released two previously unheard tracks.
Yes.
And we thought we would be remiss if we didn't at least mention them in passing.
We would live a life of regret if we didn't jump on a pod.
Well, just more regret. I mean, just more regret. We already live.
That's true. Just additional, like hitting over the maximum of regret. Like, I think there has to be a ceiling somewhere. I hope.
I would hope, because we're filled with nothing but regret mostly.
Have you seen the Poseidon Adventure where they're like kind of crawling out, trying to crawl from it's all like that? That's me with the regret.
Have I told you my connection to the Poseidon Adventure? Have I said this before?
I don't think you have.
So the Poseidon Adventure has a special place in my heart because my mother went into labor with me while watching the Poseidon Adventure.
Wow.
True story. It was on TV. She's watching it. And all of a sudden, boom, here I started to come. I like to say that.
Was it a water birth?
Broke. No, it wasn't. I should have been. My joke, I used to say for years that her water broke while watching the Poseidon Adventure, but that actually isn't true. But she did go into labor while watching the Poseidon Adventure with me.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a favorite movie of mine. I mean, it's not, you know, this is getting a weird, really off tangent, but let's come back.
No, we're back to our regular type of programming now, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. We're already back in the swing. So we're going to talk about these two little singles. But before we do that, Ed, I do have a tiny bit of Prince in the news.
Prince.
So this is really new news. It was just 5 days ago, August 3rd. I'm sure, again, probably a lot of people saw this, but a 7-mile stretch of Highway 5 in Minnesota that runs right through Chanahassen has two brand new purple signs on either end.
Okay.
And those signs now proclaim it the Prince Rogers Nelson Memorial Highway. And those were just dedicated in a ceremony, but a lot of our listeners saw that. And apparently the funds for the sign came from a guy named Mark Webster, who is they were not like state funds. This guy funded it himself. And he's a Paisley Park employee and a friend of the family. And apparently he knew Prince. And he said, quote, "This is my job. I never worked for him, but I think I'm working for him now. So I'm trying to do the best I can in his honor to make things right." Mark Webster.
Very nice.
Yeah, well done, Mark Webster. I thought this was funny. The Minnesota Department of Transportation has requested that people not pull over on the side of the highway to take pictures because it's dangerous. There is apparently a trail access right next to the signs that you can go over to if you want to take a picture of the sign.
And Jared, what's the over under for how long it's going to take someone to steal one of those signs?
I'm sure they're both gone right now. I'm sure they're both gone. I'm sure they're both. Wait, Ed, is that? Hold on. What's behind you?
What's behind me there? No. I already had a Prince Memorial Highway.
Oh, you blurred out. You blurred out your background. Well, that's convenient.
Oh, no. Anyway. I mean, yeah.
Absolutely. So that's our little bit of Prince in the news.
Well, you know what's intriguing about what you just said about the facts about that particular highway?
What's that?
It's 7 miles long.
Interesting. Go on.
By seven, I wonder. Dare I say?
Dare you say? Dare I answer? It could be because the number seven was important to our friend, Prince Rogers Nelson, now a memorial highway. And to get back to why we're here today, these two unreleased tracks, one of them is a re-recorded version of Seven.
True.
The seminal track from 1992's The Love Symbol album.
Yep.
And it was recorded on August 9th, 1992. I guess maybe during those sessions. I would think. We're going to play you a snippet of it, and then we're going to talk about it like we do, right, Ed?
We do. I guess we'll do seven first, and we'll do the other one second. Is that what you want to do?
Well, I guess, since we're here now.
Yeah, since I kind of did it that way.
I mean, you kind of set it up. You did the segue on that one.
All right.
Here we go. Here's a little bit. If you haven't heard it, here's a little bit of the new version, or not new, but the previously unreleased version of Seven. We lay down on the sand of the sea. Before Sam Mass, we will stand that decree. We do not love, only blasphemy. In the distance, six others will curse me. That's all right. And I'm not going to make any jokes about Seven I feel like we must have covered ground about making jokes about Seven when we did this on the Love Symbol, right? We must have.
Yeah, I probably threw out something like, what's your favorite prime number, Jared? Is Seven the best prime number out there?
Was that the joke? That might have been the joke.
It might have been. That's something that popped in my head. That's probably what we used.
Might have been the joke. Mine would have been something like, and I know this probably wouldn't fly for you because you're not like a sci-fi fan, but like, there's that one Star Trek character whose name is Seven of Nine. She's like the sexy.
What's the gal's name on Stranger Things? What's her number?
Oh, 11. 7-Eleven.
11.
How about that? Yeah, she's an
7-Eleven.
Yeah, there you go. Ed, what do you make of this version of Seven, which is officially titled the E flat version?
Yeah, good old E flat. Well, you know what? I'll tell you, it was hard. It was a hard listen for me because I'm just so used to the other version of the song.
Of course.
It was hitting my ear like a little, like it almost sounded off to me when I first listened to it.
Yeah.
But I will say, on repeated listen, I can't deny It's very funky in the E flat version. You know, it's undeniably funky. Especially the instrumental break at the end, where he's doing some nice, healthy slap bass
100%
at the back end of the song. And there's some simple synth chords going back and forth. But I'll just say this, and I'm sorry, I know this is such a quick review, but that's how I felt about it. In my humble opinion, I think that this song works best as an anthem, which is what the original version is. And the, this particular mix of it with this E flat introduction and kind of funkified R&B kind of throw through in the song, I believe takes away the impact of that anthem. I think it's not a sing along anymore. It's just a groove. And it's an interesting take on it. But I think it's far inferior to the original mix of the track that's on the album. I think it just actually reduces the power of that original track, frankly. And the other thing I just want to say, and I'm about them release, Estate can release everything he's ever put into.
Absolutely. Everything. We want everything out.
We want to hear it all. We want to hear it all. So I don't want to sound like whatever about this or what are they releasing. But it's interesting to me, back in the early 90s, Prince was not shy. Remember the maxi single, Jared?
Yes, indeed. Oh, yes, I do remember.
Maxi cassettes, folks, or maxi CDs for our old heads out there. That's to be for younger folks. It was not unusual for folks in the early 90s. I don't know when this ended. At some point this ended. But they would actually release the single version of the song, then like an extended version of the song, then some remixes of the song, all contained on a CD or on a cassette.
Right.
Prince was not shy about doing that around this time. He had a lot of maxi singles out. In fact, Seven had a maxi single. And guess what? This remix version was not included on that maxi single. So I do put in the question in my head, did Prince hear this and just think, you know what? It's not the version that I really want the public to hear, given how the song has been crafted and released on the album. So I do come in with a little bit of cynicism and a little bit of feeling that Prince maybe at the end of the day thought, I could have released this and threw this on top of a maxi single because I already had that developed. I chose not to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here we are listening to it now. I mean, I appreciate the listen. I appreciate the version. It's kind of interesting. But at the end of the day, I'm going to forget about this and go back to the Love Symbol album and hear the original and love that even more.
Yeah.
How did you feel about it?
Not dissimilar. You know what it made me think of first? Ed, do you remember, I guess this would have been 1986-ish, somewhere around there. The Police had not yet officially broken up. And they released a new arrangement of "Don't Stand So Close to Me."
I do remember, you know,
and they don't sound anything the same, of course, but like it's a similar idea wherein it's a rearrangement of the song. The melody is the same, the structure of the same as song, but it's arranged very differently in a different vocal key, and it makes it's very different, and it's like. I was thinking, sort of given the pop culture moment that we're in, this feels sort of like a multiverse, the multiverse version of this, you know, like the alternate
version of it,
like that Police track was. And by that, I mean this, to echo your point, like it's interesting, but utterly inessential. You know, it's an interesting listen. Like, I think that something that the lower key, this E flat key does is that to your point, Ed, it no longer makes it an anthem. It sort of makes it a little foreboding. In a certain kind of way, there's something a little like it's certainly not joyful. It's not triumphant. It's something else. Right. I think that's true. I mean, it is more plainly funky. All that Middle Eastern, you know, vaguely Indian mysticism of the original track. That's virtually gone. We don't really hear any of that in here. You know, the melody is the same. It's just the key and the arrangement is different. So I don't know. I mean, I will say that. I do love that slap and bass solo is great. It's awesome. It's the best part of this arrangement is hearing him sort of play out on that. I think that's really good. And I'm into that. That's the reason to listen to this, I think, right? Is that bass solo. But I will say, not unlike what we said about Nothing Compares to You in the last little mini pod, I think this different take does show the strength of the songwriting, how strong the song is, that you can still have multiple versions of it and the strength of the song remains. And I think at least that's partially because the melody is still there. And, you know, he's absolutely just singing in a lower register, essentially.
Yep.
So anyway, as I said, like, yeah, I don't think this is essential at all. I think it's an interesting listen, but it does make me wonder if there's like a whole E flat version of the Love Symbol album out there, like lurking underneath the surface, like a shark waiting to surface. Probably not. I don't know that all those tracks would stand up to something like this, but it's right. Again, like an interesting thought experiment. It's just sort of fun to think about.
Yeah, I mean, I love when he, I mean, I'll give you a great example of him doing something like this, which I think works incredibly well and makes the song interesting. If you ever listen to the extended version of Little Red Corvette,
yes,
he brings in like a minor chord into the bass line when he comes off the, what would you hear as a single, totally reshapes the song, but it sounds great. Like, I think it's really cool. But I wouldn't say, well, Little Red Corvette is sort of an anthem. I don't think I would have maybe liked that version in the regular part of the song where he's singing. But in terms of the instrumental part, I think it rocks, you know. So
Anyway, cool. This is something for completists and nerds like us who want to hear everything.
It's definitely guys, it's definitely worth a listen. And listen,
oh, definitely.
You know us. We're just two guys, we're two humble guys from the Philadelphia or Harrisburg and or Pennsylvania area and et cetera, et cetera. Who are just, you know, we have some opinions and we'd love to hear your opinions. What do you guys think?
What do you think? What do you make of this version of it? We want to hear, and you know, we're all about the hot take. We love the hot take.
You're like, no, I don't want E flat. I want the D flat version. Whatever. You just tell
what
us.
What if it was open E? Would be so good if it was
open
just
E. That's what I'm talking about, Jared.
Let's move on to the second track.
Yes, let's do that. So the next track that they released is called All a Share Together Now.
Like father teaches, like son do. With each generation, the past improved. Wealthy, wise, and stronger still. No generation taking more than their feel. Like an arm reaches, the baton passes on. The scriptures teach us, no matter how long. The debt of the ones before us must be paid. All are shared together now.
Jared,
yeah,
would you agree that there was a critical mistake by the artist Cher of not having a reunion with Sonny?
Would I agree that it was a critical mistake? Was it? Yeah, for Cher, it was a mistake for Cher not to reunite with Sonny. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. I want all of Sonny and Cher together now. Is what I'm trying to pitch.
Yeah, that's probably true because I mean, what did she do? She won an Academy Award. Was in a bunch of
movies. I mean, her career went nowhere.
She kind of went nowhere.
He was a politician. He
dated
did okay.
Val Kilmer.
He rocked. He was a politician. He was active in government.
Ran into a tree.
Then had problems skiing. Yeah, unfortunately. R.I.P.
That's too soon. That's a little soon, I guess. Sorry,
poor Sonny. No, I feel bad for the guy. I think we all do. Anyways, I don't know the awkward transition out of that.
We're not quite back on our form yet, but we're getting there.
We're getting there. This is nice getting the rust off type of thing.
Yeah.
So what did you think about this? This is a brandy new track. So what do you think about this one, Jared?
Brandy new in its way. So this was recorded, according to the information I found, September 4th, 2006. The info on who played on it is very thin on the ground. So it is assumed that he played all the instruments except for the horns, but who played the horns, I don't know. I mean, I presume it's Candy Dolfer and Eric Leeds in the usual, but who knows? I don't know. I mean, who knows who it is? I'll tell you, I feel like, well, it's very jazzy, obviously. It's a very jazzy track. It's almost got sort of a bebop kind of rhythm to it, kind of groove. The hi-hat is almost kind of beboppy. And I know the timing isn't right, but given the messaging of the lyrics, how it's very clearly evangelical in message, it does sort of feel like a lost Rainbow Children track to me.
Lyrically, I could see where that argument makes sense. Absolutely.
You know, and musically a little bit. You know, all that jazz is all over Rainbow Children, and it's not quite the same as this. That jazz on Rainbow is a little bit more fusion-y out there weirdo kind of stuff, and this is a slightly more in the traditional vein. Yeah. But I feel like he could have fit. I'll say that I love the bass line. The bass on this is
It's slinky little bad boy in it.
It's a slinky little thing that's really, really good. I will say I dig how he can't help but inject a little secularness to the proceedings on that line. She always knew what she was after. Bass. You know, he doesn't say Jesus or God or salvation. He says bass. That's what she's after.
Maybe, and maybe done in a way as a little shout out to Chuck D.
I think so. Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be a shout out to our old friend Chuck D, the mighty Chuck D. So I enjoy it. I mean, it's nothing revelatory, but I think it's pretty solid, actually, you know, but it's not like some lost masterpiece that we've been all longing for.
No, I'm with you there. I mean, that's all. And I get it because I have that same instinct when something gets released by the estate. And I'm like, we can have a whole pod about how the estate's releasing stuff.
Yeah, we have a lot of like questions about it.
Yeah, because like a standalone release of Moonbeam Levels or, you know, different tracks I could bring up from different eras. Let me talk. If you want to hear, I can talk you through what I was noticing in the song. I mean, similar ideas. I mean, first thing that stuck out to me was the bass line. It's a really solid, great little bass line there. And the jazz guitar riff that he's thrown in there is really solid too.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. That's all it is. There's nothing else. Like, it doesn't change. Like, comparing to Rainbow Children, I'd say the one thing that had, though, I think, you know, there was some repetitive ideas and musically, but he had the songs going in various directions and in different, a lot of different ways. This is a way more simple type of song that I think than what we heard on Rainbow Children. Talking about the drum, there's a certain insistent kind of tappity tap tap on the hi-hat that kind of, I don't know if it's a tambourine, one of those tambourine setups. Yeah. It just kind of keeps time. The drums is a mix of like stick hits and drum and hitting that and a lot of the stutter drum. I was reading as we were prepping for this, and I got the interns on Zoom, and we were talking about that there was a lot of I called them in. You know, they're on pagers.
You kept them all summer. You kept them all summer.
They're 24/7 on pagers. Like, I'm still using pager technology.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys. Yeah, that's the only way.
That there's some, you know, some buzz in the Prince fandom about that maybe. Is that, it sounds like John Blackwell, right? I mean, John Blackwell really was
the drummer. It does sound a little John Blackwell,
I can't deny that it sounds very much like a John Blackwell kind of drumming exercise or whatever you want to call it. But like you said, the info around the actual personnel is very, very lacking. So you don't know. To me, this whole thing's a rhythmic exercise. Like, you got the great bass line, a real rhythmic, very interesting chords in the jazz guitar. The drumming is solid, and even his vocal is very percussive. So to me, it's all about percussiveness and percussion in the song. And to your point about the lyrics, I mean, they're positive, but there's no new ground here. It's stuff we've heard from him. There's nothing breaking new ground, except for the point that I thought too. It stood out to me. He says, "If you don't mind, I got." And he's saying all kind of scripture types of things in the beginning of the song. Then at the very end, "If you don't mind, I got something I got to say," says Prince in the song. She picked him out of a crowded room. There was only joy and laughter. She had a plan to change all that real soon. She always knew what she was after. Which is kind of a fun little thing. I mean, it's a one chord vamp, right? So I'm with you. Like, is it earth shattering, like stunning new track or that we wanted to hear from the vault? Probably not. I don't think I'd put it in that category. It actually reminds me, honestly, the sound of it. I know you were thinking Rainbow Children. I totally understand why you are. It totally reminds me of some of the material that was released when Warner Bros. Did the Vault Old Friends for Sale. Like, to me, it sounds a lot like She Spoke to Me when the Lights Go Down, that kind of style. Yeah. Though I know this was recorded in 2006. So, but it kind of gave me that feeling more than anything else. Like this could have sat on the Vault album and felt like it totally belonged, because that's like a more jazzy oriented album. That's not the whole concept of Rainbow Children, right? So anyway. Right. I do have a question for you now, though. He says in the song, I'm going to use this to prompt a question for you. He says, "Dig me now, dig me later, dig me now, dig me later" in the song. So my question to you, Jared, would this have been better appreciated released back in 2006 or 7, or is it better appreciated now that it's released separately by itself? It could have been on 3121 or Planet Earth, or it's being released here as its own thing separately. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think to echo, I think something you said, there's a reason it was in the vault, right? As opposed to on any of those albums we have named. So I think that it gets more attention now simply because it's a rarity, as opposed to another track that maybe just gets lost in the shuffle somewhere. I think your point about it being just really a repetitive vamp is kind of right on the money. So if this had been on 3121, which is, we agree, a pretty strong record.
Absolutely.
Or if it had been on, you know, if it's somehow been put on Vault, Old Friends for Sale, even though we're told it was recorded after that, or Rainbow Children, or any of these other projects, I think it would have been lost in the shuffle on any of them. So I think it had, I think its uniqueness makes it stand out a little bit better now. And I mean, look, we're talking about it at length right now when we probably wouldn't have.
Yeah, absolutely.
That, you know, but I think that's an interesting question. And I'll raise this. I'll throw this back to you. So this was originally, so this track and the seven were given to attendees of the Prince celebration this year, just in June, just a couple of months ago.
Yep.
And they were given it on a little drive, and that little thing was called Vault Series Number One. So what do you think? Does that mean we're going to get Vault Series 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, etc.? Are those series only going to be two tracks at a time? I mean, I guess there's no way to know, but do you want to speculate on that?
Yeah, I mean, God, I hope so. It was funny. I had just thought about this the other week that, you remember, I mean, Dylan has that bootleg series, right?
Yes.
And right. I was just thinking about this in terms of, I actually am not a huge fan of the estate doing those huge re-releases where it's like Sign the Times, you know, remastered and 95 tracks that were recorded in that right. same time period. I just think it's too much to digest. Yeah. I would rather them come out with 12 tracks a year yeah. or something a little more manageable, because we've lived it, right? Because we're doing the podcast. Right. We've said this, like we look at Emancipation and we said, man, good on Prince for having that much, being able to produce that much material. And it's good quality across the board, but you get lost in the volume of it all.
Yes. Yes, you do.
And I wish they would have cut it into more digestible chunks and let us really take the time to really explore tracks in like a volume one that's maybe 10 tracks covering 85, 86 as its own thing, not yep. attached to the Purple Rain album or whatever album. Like, I would rather see it that way, frankly, and package that way than in a super, super duper deluxe release. I don't know, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I think that's a really, really, really good point. And I just do want to say, folks, Ed and I, despite Ed's reluctance, we are going to, at some point, we are going to come back and do the super deluxe editions of Sign of the Times and 1999 and all that. We're going to cover that down the road. But Ed, I think you're making an excellent point. You know, so real quickly, this past weekend, Ed, you know, I went to see a music festival in upstate New York. It was called The Positive Jam, one of my favorite bands, The Hold Steady, who often reference Prince because the lead singer is from Minnesota and the lyricist, he's from Minneapolis. So they had their own festival. And on the festival was this band, Ed, I bet you know, probably some of our listeners know, they're called Guided by Voices. Do you know Guided by Voices, Ed?
I don't.
So Guided by Voices is this sort of seminal indie rock band. Their only consistent member is the lyricist, songwriter. His name is Robert Pollard. Okay. And now Robert Pollard is now 66 years old. And I'd never seen Guided by Voices, so I was excited to see them. But here's the thing about Guided by Voices, and I'm circling back to your point. Robert Pollard is so prolific. He's released something like 135 albums since 1983. Wow. And I have one. I have one album of Guided by Voices. And yeah. So I was standing with all these people at this festival, and you know, some of them knew some of the songs that they were playing, and most of us didn't know any of them, because it's just too much material to absorb at one time. I think he released three albums this year already.
Wow. This guy.
So I think your point is well made. You know, I think, you know, if we look back, for example, at the Emancipation three-part pod we did, we both agreed that if he had culled that down that could have been an all-time top five Prince record if he had done that, but he didn't.
Yep.
And I think your comparison to the Dylan bootleg series, which is still going really strong, and now Neil Young is doing that too. You know, these incredibly prolific artists. I think that's the way to do it. Make it a little bit more manageable for us.
Yeah.
So we can really enjoy and appreciate what's being released rather than like, oh man, I'm going to listen to this all once and then I'm shell-shocked and I can't go back to it for a long time. So I think your point is really well made.
Well, Estate, we know you're an avid listener to our podcast. So just take our word for it. Do it. If you need us to come up and curate it, we're happy to take
some. We're happy to do that.
Go up in the wintertime. I'll bring an extra layer of clothing.
We'll do that. We can stay in Paisley Park. We could stay there.
We can stay there.
That's fine. We could sleep in sleeping bags on the floor of Studio A.
Be happy to. Be happy to.
Be no problem at all. But I'd be curious, Ed, to hear what our listeners think about this. Should it be more curated? Should it all come out at once? Should it be a flood? Like, what do people think? I know there's a lot of thoughts on this. So I'd love to hear.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. Love to hear it. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
Well, Jared, I know before we go, I know we weren't doing like our official format, but I'd be happy to throw a little question for you in here if you don't mind.
You know, Ed, it's been so long since I've heard a question for you and our listeners. I would love a question for you right now.
You got it.
A question for you.
Sure. So I mentioned earlier that Prince did a maxi single of Seven. There was a known remixed version of Seven done by a very kind of epic and legendary hip hop producer. Never saw the light of day. This gentleman's from Queens. He's worked with Eric B and Rakim. He was on the Paid in Full recording. And who's this guy? Who's this producer who did the remix that did not get, unless this is secretly the one he did and now it's released, but he's not getting credit. I don't know. But who is that legendary rapper, record producer? He found a record label, did all these things. Give me that name.
Is it Vanilla Ice? Otherwise known as Rob Van Winkle. It must be Vanilla Ice. His real name is
Rob. Not supposed to give the answers. Oh, Jared.
Sorry.
No, it's not him, as you know, folks.
It's not Vanilla Ice. But I am super intrigued by this, especially since this person worked with Eric B and Rakim, arguably the greatest MC of all time. Arguably, everyone. But Rakim is a giant. Interesting. That's a good question. I like it. So, folks, you know what to do. Facebook, Instagram. I'm going to be honest with everybody real quickly. And Ed, we have to talk about this off air. I'm the one who does our Twitter feed, you know?
Okay.
And I haven't been super involved because of the nonsense that Twitter has become. And now that it's called X and it's not called Twitter and Elon's a clown and like all the nonsense of it all. I haven't moved us over to Threads, which is the Facebook alternative to Twitter. I don't know. Are people on Twitter? What's happening? I don't understand what's happening. Plus, you can only see so many tweets and you have to do these things. And I don't know. So I haven't been as active on it, but I will check it to see if people respond on Twitter or X or whatever the hell Elon is calling it. After he fights Mark Zuckerberg in a cage. You heard that, right?
No, I haven't heard about that. He wants to fight
Mark Zuckerberg in a cage match, like MMA style.
Why not? Sure. I mean, come on. Sure.
This is where we are.
Into space and fight each other in space?
Fight each other in space. Do that.
When no one can hear you scream. Exactly. I will say this, too, before we go. I want to say a little shout out to our subscriber base. We do appreciate you very much.
Very much.
Helped us offset some costs with guys, even when we're not running and when we're not, you know, actually doing pods. We know we took a pretty extended break here during the summer. We still have to pay for at a minimum, we have to pay for hosting the actual podcast, which costs us is it $40? I forget what it is. But anyway, so the subscribers really help us. So we're not just losing that money every month. Yeah. And if you just a little tip for you guys, Jared and I are planning a little virtual subscriber picnic we're going to do at the end of August. So if you subscribe now, you can join that list and get into a sort of an exclusive little chat with Jared and I. We'll talk about the pod, get to meet each other, talk about ideas for future pods, all that type
answer
of stuff.
Any questions you might have, all that stuff. Yeah. So
yeah,
if you'd like to subscribe, if you haven't, please do. You can do it on our Buzzsprout page, which is our host. And that link is in our various bios in various places. And so you can do that. We'd love to have you be a part of the Wind Doves podcast family. That would be very exciting as we gear up to get into the next season. Unbelievable. Yeah.
And as you know, look at you're all, listen, every listener is part of the family, but there's the family that you know, and there's the family that send you the birthday cards with the money in the envelope, right? So those are the family members.
There's the family that records a debut album titled The Family. And then there are the people, there's the family that listen to the record wishing they had been in the family.
Wow.
How did that metaphor work? I wasn't sure.
That felt a little more severe, so for some weird reason.
Yeah, that was a little more severe than I intended, but it was like, I was trying to tie it in. Anyway, I'm off. I'm still shaking the rust off.
I know. We're working it out, guys. It's all good. We'll be back in prime form for season 4, which is coming up soon, guys. So don't worry about it.
Unbelievable. So yeah. So folks, enjoy the rest of your summer. Go Phillies and whatever baseball team you all root for. As long as it's not the Phillies, as long as you're not playing
any
the Phillies
sports team outside of the anybody who's competing with the Phillies, and any cause that you're supporting, we're with you guys. We're supportive. May all things be going well for you.
Yes. Mostly all causes. There's an asterisk
mostly all of them.
Mostly all. So anyway, Ed and I love you and miss you. And thanks for listening to this little mini pod. Let us know what you think about these two releases from the estate. And we'll be back soon. And until then,
may you
live to
see the
dawn.
Love you guys. Take care.
Love you, everybody. Bye.
Happy summer. Bye. Yeah. Bye.